But when you begin to navigate the kingdom of God in that pavilion where the dominion of God is present, you will of necessity find that there are laws. And the Bible says that as we seek the kingdom as a matter of priority, we should also seek to be right with every law we discover. For instance, I was praying about this year, yet God instructed me to do the things I don't like. There are some things I don't like. There are some times in the day I don't like praying. I prefer to study the Bible at those times. Over the years, I've operated like that. And then suddenly, the Great One now comes and says, well, if you want to find me, pray this time, pray. Those are new laws. The laws do not apply to Reverend Hees. It applies to me. If I decide to violate those laws, I will not be right with God in his current dealings with me. So as you seek the kingdom, you must understand that there are laws you are going to find. It is your conformity with these laws that guarantees that the new levels of covenant that God is bringing you into is sustainable. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? So you'll find those laws. And what it means to be righteous is to be with God, standing with God. Because the word righteousness is a legal register, it's a legal terminology. Alright? It's a legal terminology. You cannot take that word outside of its legal context. For instance, justification is a situation where the judge now pronounces you discharged and acquitted. You are justified of the allegation. Okay, am I still there? And just like it is today, there is a police department in Makurdi, and in no case file whatsoever does the police department have a case that indicts me of a crime. It is indicative of the fact that I am righteous with respect to the laws of the land. Is that clear? I'm righteous. So I'm free. I'm at liberty. I cannot be bound because I'm righteous with respect to the laws of the land. Are you with me? Oh my. Now, we can't make progress. You see, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. There are several laws that were not revealed to you last year. Even though your walk with God was accurate, those laws were not revealed. But it is when there is a revelation of a law that the platform of either righteousness or rebellion becomes available. It will take a higher level of faith, because we are going to look at what faith really is architecturally. It will take a higher level of faith for you to enter into a higher walk with God. It will take a higher intensity of faith for you to enter into a higher life of communion with God. So for every new level you enter into, the first thing that God does is that he unveils new laws. And it will take a higher level of faith for you to be able to meet the demands of those new laws. You must understand that as you become deeper in God, you become narrower. The things you can do and have peace in your heart, they will begin to reduce. If you talk too much and at a particular spiritual level, it was not a problem. When you move into another level, that you're talking will become a challenge, because there will be a law that will be revealed, and that law might be against your talking. So at every point in time that you talk too much, the flag of the law, the justice system of the infrastructure of that civilization will raise the flag. Alright, so let's go back. With that in mind, I'd like us to make progress. You know, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from faith to faith. So what Pastor George meant by we need a higher level of faith to engage this year might also mean that many of us have been promoted. Many of us were faithful in the last service season and we have been promoted. But on the account of this promotion, we will be exposed to new laws. And in order for us to be right with respect to those laws, we require a higher measure of faith. So the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17, reveals that faith exists in measures. So we are not on the same level, on the same measure of faith. We're not on the same measure. That's, if you still remember a message I preached, how one Christian is different from the other. The first thing I said, that we don't operate at the same measure of faith. The measure of faith that you operate is dependent upon the laws that you have stumbled upon as you seek to be in proper and more alignment with the kingdom of God. It's an ecosystem where the dominion of God is effective. As you navigate in that crucible, you will stumble upon various laws. And your capacity to become right with those laws require faith. Now, let's move. So like I said, faith is in measures. If we do a breakdown on the possible scenarios that will help us understand the measures that are available, the measures that are within reach according to the scriptures, we will find the first measure. The first measure can be called little faith. Stay with me. Alright? First measure is little faith. And there are symptoms that reveal the fact that you are operating on that measure. You see, your experience is not exactly God's best, what God wants to give you. Your experience might be contrary from God's promises in your life. And one of the factors that may be responsible is the level of faith you operate. As you begin to walk with God, your measure of faith will begin to increase. That is how it is designed. Because the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Little faith. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. I'd like us to see and what we need to do in order for us to enter into another measure of faith, another walking principle of faith, something beyond the last civilization that we sustained in our walk with God. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, the whole land, the whole territory suggests that if we are not people of faith, then the outcome of such an existence is that we'll become people of compromise. Because there are two possibilities when you begin to discern the laws of God. It's either you align with the law or you compromise. So if your faith level is not increasing, you are going to end up compromising. And any point in time when you notice that you have to tell a lie, you have to do something that is inconsistent with the nature of God, it is an indication of the fact that we were short of faith. You don't have any reason to lie, but just in case you see a situation and you feel that the way to bail yourself out is by reaching out to the resources of the flesh, namely lying. That cannot happen except there is a situation of inadequate faith. And so it is possible for someone to be operating on an inadequate measure of faith. The sum total of his experience in God is going to be likely dependent by his compromises. And he will have a lot of issues with the justice system of the kingdom of God. The red flag will come up so many times. The red flag. Hallelujah. You know, when on Monday police people catch you somewhere you were driving bad, they catch you on Tuesday, catch you on Wednesday, catch you on Sunday night. It's a situation that needs our attention. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Where were we? Luke chapter 12. Turn with me quickly.
All right,
let's do verse 20. My resolve this year is to teach the Bible, to teach it very well. To assume that we don't know anything, and then let's start again. Let's start afresh. Let us exalt the word of God above every other philosophy. Because it's a year that requires a lot of faith. In the book of Luke chapter 12, from verse 22, the Bible says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? For ye then be not able to do, where are we? For if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies as they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you? And then there is a quiet lamentation. O ye of little faith. Now, because of time, I may not be able to do this scripture as much as I desire. And to bring it to that point where the lamentation came from. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Now listen. If you remember, in the Garden of Eden, if you remember, Adam never had to pray for provision. Because before Adam was created, what he required to survive was already made available. Alright? And so Adam, his assignment was to dress the garden and keep the garden. His assignment was purpose. His purpose was to dress the garden and to keep the garden. His purpose was not to look for food and to look for raiment, because the resources required to support his kingdom activity were made available to him before he was deployed to function. That's Adam. Right. You see, the reason why the kind of understanding that Adam had is no longer commonplace is because of one factor, and that factor is called the fall of man. It's just like 18 people in an 18-seater bus making a trip from Makurdi to Lagos, and suddenly there's an accident. Because of the way the cars are assaulted, the guys that were by the window to the right, all of them die. Because of the fact that it was a 3/4 ton, the guys on this side of the left side of the window, they sustained fractures. But the guys that were in the middle row, the driver and the people in front, came out without a scratch. The guys in the middle row had little bruises. The guys in the front came out without a scratch because the impact was like this. It was an oscillatory situation. So the people down there and the people at the back were exempted from the impact. They were all in the same situation, but the outcome was different. Is that true? And that's how the fall was. There were several creatures that the fall did not affect. And there were some other creatures that the fall had great impact upon. Alright? Are you with me? Okay. Now, because of this, and you may want to ask the preacher, as a preacher, what is the science behind the ones that had impact and the ones, I don't know that. The Bible did not provide that information. So stay with the revelation available in the Bible. Are you still with me? The Bible didn't provide. All right. It is because of this situation that several creatures were creatures that could be sacrificed to God. And only creatures that were clean, according to this description, according to the description of the fall, were used for sacrifice to God. Are you here? Are you still with me? All right. So when Noah came out of the ark, the creatures he used for, that was the first man that raised an altar to God and bore a sacrifice. The creatures he used for that, his intercessory engagement, were clean creatures. And that was before the day of Moses, before the list of clean creatures was fully itemized. That guy went into the spirit and found out that the fall did not affect this animal. So he took them and sacrificed. And his intercession was that, just like the fall did not affect this animal, you must provide something for us so that life can be guaranteed under this new ecosystem of the fall. It was after that sacrifice that God said, okay, as long as the earth remains, Satan, have it, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease. What God meant by that is, if you know how to relate effectively with these variables, you can predict your future. Even under the fall. I don't have time for us to do a permutation of all the variables and to see the ones we can influence. But God began to give wisdom on how life should be lived, even with the circumstances of the fall. Are you still with me? So it was the fall that made us a consumer people. It was the fall that made us a needy people. It was a fall that made us, our scale of preference changed. Are you still here? The fall affected us most. That's what I'm saying. People that are called to be prophets are prostitutes. It's the fall that did it. Our sense of priority changed because of the fall. So we are looking for the things that Adam never looked for. It is because of the fall. And Jesus was trying to use this scripture in the book of Luke chapter 12 to give us what we call a recalibration. For those of you that work in the medical line, those of you that work in practical physics, and you work in areas where you use instrumentation, you will find out that your accuracy in readings is a function of the accuracy of the instrument that you are using. You guys use a lot of instruments to determine a lot of health conditions. You use your stethoscope to get some stuff. Your stethoscope can lose calibration. And then you now get readings that are inconsistent. You will now think the person has a heart attack. Not because the person has a heart attack, but because your instrument lacks integrity. Are you with me? All right, so we, under the fall, we lost our calibration. So Jesus was trying to restore our calibration in this particular scripture. That was why he used a lot of illustration. Consider the lilies of the field. He's trying to show us creatures that the fall did not have. Did not have impact upon. They are still operating with the original manual. Oh my, you are not with me. You are not here. We can't go far. The subject is a deep one. Pastor has caused problem. You see, when people lead prayers, I check their spirit to know at what point the Holy Ghost seizes their spirit and the message that comes out. So it is my own job now to amplify it, to establish it as a doctrine, as a teaching, so that people can live therein. So what I'm teaching now came out of his prayer. I saw the burden of the Lord come and I read it. I want to expand upon it. But you see, the burden was so deep that we may not have time to fully expand upon. Mosquito that was ordained to take nectar from flowers and become an agent of cross-pollination. When he lost the manual on the account of the fall, he now takes blood. Takes blood. People that were called to be evangelists, they are now there in Niger Bet in whatever that is, OG winners. I was going to our shop
in OG Winners, and I saw a market. I thought I was in the wrong place. They said, no, you are okay. This is it. And then somebody said there that this is my office. This is my office. See, it's the fall. It's the fall. It's the fall that made us like that. So the exercise in the book of Luke chapter 12 is an exercise for recalibration so that we can get our original readings again. And in this exercise, Jesus had to bring a lot of reference, pointed to a lot of creatures that were not affected by the fall. One of those suggested creatures was a lily of the field. Now, because of time, I don't have time to do a very, very detailed work on the lily. And then you will see how fallen humankind really is. The lily of the field. And the illustration of that Jesus was bringing by reason of the introduction of the example of the lily is clothing. Now, there is another example he used. The fowl of the air. It is him that does not spin. It is him that does not gather into barns. But yet, is no day passes by before that they go hungry. Because they have a connection. He said, your heavenly father feeded them. He is not their father. He is your father. But yet, he feeds them. And the way they attract their feeding is by faith. He is not their father. Because it is a father's responsibility to provide for his household. And God is not an infidel. But we have a faith challenge. So the people cannot see the revelation of God as Father. So people that are categorized as such as have little faith have not yet comprehended the revelation of God as Father. As long as very soon in my lecture you'll come to realize the ingredients of faith, one of the ingredients of faith is knowledge. Faith, you know those days who were taught that faith is blind. Take that message and put it in the trash can. Faith has sight. Faith has vision. Faith can see. But we were taught those days that what? Faith is blind. Why did God take Abraham outside in the night to show him the stars? His visual perspective was going to enhance his capacity to believe. So faith is not blind. But we have not come to that. That's another for another day. Hallelujah. There is knowledge in faith. It's not just wild believing. It's believing in a particular context. And if you have not yet contacted the revelation of God as Father, you are going to have challenges in believing that God will provide for you. And such a person that doesn't see himself within the context of security sufficient for him to be a project that God is willing to sponsor is someone that has been bereaved, deeply bereaved by the kingdom, by the activities of the kingdom of God. He's bereaved. He's bereaved of the revelation of what? But now, we are not going to press into that. So, we can put an asterisk on that. We will look at the revelation of God as Father. It is fundamental to our working knowledge of the subject of faith. Very, very fundamental. The Bible says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, you are an evil person, but you give good gifts unto your children, how much more? It means you cannot be used as an example to illustrate the Heavenly Father. You are a mundane specimen. So mundane that you cannot be used as an example of the magnanimity of the Heavenly Father. He said, you be able to know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father? So we are going to go into that scripture. And then you will see the revelation of God as Father. As long as you don't have that revelation, you are bereaved. And you are in that category of people that Jesus calls men
of little faith.
Now I wish I had time for us to do the real, to score it, the fowls of the air
and the lilies of the field.
You see the way they operate. That kind of operation, that freestyle liberty operation, is as a result of the fact that they have a connection with the God of creation. Listen to me, we might be 1,000 people in the crowd. I'm confident that my identity is not mistaken. It's not mistaken. Your sense of worth, your sense of inner security is tied to the fact that you have a father that is not earthly, a father that is heavenly, a father that cannot die. How much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? It is when we understand the revelation of God as Father that you now know what asking is. Asking. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall. It's tied to Father. And once that revelation is not there, the best you can produce is little faith. Meanwhile, there are terrains where little faith will not suffice. Strange terrains. All right, let's go to the next level. We'll finish with the measures of faith before we talk about the ingredients that make a faith. Then I'll stop my lecture for the day. Bring two prayer points to establish the emphasis of the Spirit upon your heart. If the pendulum of God is still upon the issue of faith tomorrow, then we'll go into the deep ones. The deep aspect of faith. The advanced levels of faith. When you enter into the advanced levels of faith, the things that are in the realm of God, in the space of God, will become normal to you. The context of the kingdom of God will become normal to you, and then this world will become abnormal. You will be coping with this world, but your reality will be domiciled in the world that eyes cannot see. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It takes us beyond sight. For us to, is the component through which we can interface with the unseen realm that is actually more real than the seen realm. That's where the foundation, our foundation is. So if your foundation is very steadfast within that reality, there is nothing that happens down here that can sweep you. What the devil does is that he tries to make what is happening down here more real than our reality. It's an act of deception. If you are deeply rooted in the revelation of God as Father, 60% of the tricks of the devil will not prosper in your life. It's a year that we must of necessity go deeper so that we can serve God deeper. We can help people to become strong in the Lord. We can disciple people. We can coach people. The extent to which we have received the Word of God here is sufficient for us to start coaching. There's an aspect of growth that we don't stumble upon except we start coaching people. You might say, I don't know anything. The little you know, give it out and it will multiply. Next scripture. Matthew chapter 7. 17. Anybody there in the book of Matthew chapter 17? Okay, let's begin our reading from verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, they came to a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. That's the problem I have with this group. Why did a man have to say that the disciples were incompetent? The man would have just said, yes, my son, he said, I brought him. I brought him to your disciples. And they could not cure him.
May the Lord give us the grace to be able to cure as many as are brought to us. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now, this guy was on a twofold mission. Yes, he had a case that he needed intervention, but he was very eager to expose the incompetence of the... I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure. Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless." This is I like Jesus. "Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long?" Oh my, he was cut to the heart. That means Jesus was conducting some form of lecture, some form of hands-on training on how to expel demons and to heal them. He was doing some stuff like that, hands-on training. Then here is a prototype of a lecture that they just had recently. This was an opportunity for them to try their hands on it. And what did the father say about their level of competence? "I brought him to..." It was a lecture that Jesus had given them. That problem was an opportunity for them to try their hands to bring into practicality. I hope you know practice is superior to learning. Hallelujah. I know you know how to lead a soul to Christ, but how many of you have never led anybody to Christ in your lifetime? Never led anyone to Christ. Never led anybody to Christ. Oh. Be bold. Grace is coming on you. All right. And be truthful. Okay. Now. All right. We are going to do practicals. All right. First of all, go and read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Then you come back tomorrow for prayer. If you can come 4 o'clock on the dot. Maybe we can go out and do practical. Because if you don't have practical experience, you don't know the thing. You can't say you are a chemist and you don't know what and what is mixed together to produce liquid soap. Right? And just in case you know what and what, and if they bring the things and you cannot produce it, it means you don't know it. Now, ministry is practical. Ministry is service. It's a doing thing. It's a verb. It's not something that is cognitive. It's something that is received cognitively, and then there's an impartation that is spiritual. It moves you into an activity, an action, and then you verify the things that you have been taught. This was an opportunity for verification. And then the guys were still impotent. They were still impotent. Have you ever been trained, adequately trained, with a lot of scenarios, and when you come into practicals, there is an obvious realization of insufficiency that captures you on the site at the spur of the moment? That is a proof that there is a deficiency. That deficiency is a faith deficiency. Have you heard the testimony of Elijah? When Jezebel sent a threat to him, what did he say? He went to God and said, "Let me die." And then he made a statement after that "I am not better than my fathers." Oh my. That was a statement, that was an agreement of a state of insufficiency. Just like that woman was trying to unveil the fact that the disciples were incompetent. It was a testimony of insufficient. At any point in time in your life, when it seems as if you are insufficient. Huh? Because our sufficiency in the first place is not of us. Our sufficiency is of God. The Bible says, not as though we are sufficient in ourselves or of ourselves. We did that lecture the other time. People that are sufficient in themselves, people that are sufficient of themselves, but the Bible says that our sufficiency
is of God. At any point in time where you have God, but yet you feel insufficient, it is a proof that there's a faith defect. You have God. That is not in doubt. But yet with God, you are insufficient with God. It's a faith problem. It's a faith problem. Somebody say, I'm not insufficient. With God on my side, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sufficiency is the name of the Christian life. You tap into an economy that is sufficient. Sufficient for the day. You know the Bible says sufficient for the day is what? The evil. There's also sufficient for the day is the support, the supply that comes from the Spirit of Christ. And so when you meet the evil of the day, there is a supply that is consistent. It's a consistent antidote for that rise of the devil. There's sufficiency in your life. You are capable. You deliver because you are in sync with God and your level of faith is healthy. Now let's continue. You say, oh faithless and perverse generation. Now I don't have time to raise the reason why Jesus had to lament this way. Oh faithless. Alright, somebody's who can help us with that? Why did he say, oh faithless and perverse generation? Is there perversity in this scripture? Okay. What was the reason behind Jesus' lamentation? The situation on ground was that they brought someone that needed intervention. Alright? And the people that were supposed to be the lieutenants of Jesus were incapable to bring deliverance unto the specimen. And then the master's response to the matter was what? Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Who has a contribution to that? Oh, faithless and what? Perverse generation. Okay, we'll leave it for now. 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said unto him, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. We have migrated. The first one we saw is little faith. And a man that has little faith will be conscious of unsurmountable needs because he has no revelation of God as Father. Second point is small faith. A man that has faith as small, as a mustard seed, this is how he operates. He says, whenever there is a situation that is contrary to what the Bible has promised, seeking to find a place in his life, he says what God says. He doesn't say what the circumstances say. So he lives apart from the circumstances. He lives different from circumstances. Man of little faith is overwhelmed by the circumstances. He says the circumstances. The man that has small faith can confront the circumstances because he sees the circumstances to be apart from him. The man of little faith does not see, he sees himself and the circumstance the same. These are various levels of faith. Your capacity, your perception is a function of your faith. When you find a man that cannot see impossibility, so many things are out of order. What he's seeing in the natural is not what God has told him, but he is comfortable. is, if you know what God has told me.
But you know what?
I believe what God has said much more than my circumstance. Imagine we held the Festival of Glory Crusade. God has spoken it to me 10 years before we did it. And every year, what I saw in the natural was inconsistent with what God has said 10 years ago. Can you live with it? But you see, a man of small faith can separate the circumstances from his reality. So he can say unto this mountain, that mountain is different from him. Because when there's small faith, one of the things, evidences you begin to see, is that you begin to have perception, perspective. And it's the same circumstance. You see, sister, same circumstance, the same situations befalling you, is befalling everybody in this room. We go to the same market, we buy fuel at the same price, and all of that. But the difference between one person and the next person is that faith within their heart makes them see it differently. And the stronger the faith, the more convinced you are about the perspective. That's how victory comes. It means you have exalted the activities taking place in your spirit higher than what the devil is throwing at you in the natural. And this is the situation of a man that has small faith. So small faith and little faith are not the same thing. Little faith is incapable of delivering the perspective of God in the given circumstances. Small faith. Small. As a mustard seed. Has the capacity to give you a different perspective. And the authority to make you speak to situations. And speak to circumstances. Alright. Let's go on. We have strong faith. You know the Bible says that Abraham was strong in faith. Giving glory to God. So the way you know a man that has strong faith is full of praises, thanksgiving. He's just rolling in praise. He labors in praise. There's nothing you do that he will stop praising God. Many of us think that thanksgiving is something we bring to God after a miracle has taken place. But David has a different perspective. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. From David's perspective, thanksgiving is an access to the potter. It's an access culture. It's an access culture. One of the evidences that your faith is strong is that you are full of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. A man that is full of thanksgiving, his soul cannot be punctured. Do what you want to do as long as that fire of thanksgiving is there. He has access because he has developed the culture of thanksgiving. And you see, the culture of thanksgiving is something you will develop deliberately. Thanksgiving will become an insulation that garrisons your soul against picking up perspectives that are mundane. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. My father died. Meanwhile, before my father died, he was sick and I went on fasting for 7 days. I came out of the fasting with peace. So I interpreted the peace to mean that he will not die. I was strong in faith. Hallelujah. And so we entered into the vehicle and went to the village. As we were entering the village, I saw my father's obituary posters from the very entrance of the village. And then we moved like that. But you know, I had seen the posters, alright? But I was still strong in faith. And then we now entered into the village. When we entered into the village, they said, okay, he's in the mortuary and things like that. Yes, I had heard the news that he had died. But I was still alive inside, strong in faith. And so the guys that they sent from our local church to come and encourage me, they were the ones that needed the encouragement, actually. They needed life. And so when they came, I opened the scripture to them, and I shared out of my faith with them, and they were encouraged, and they thanked me. And they forgot that they were supposed to be the one to bring encouragement. So the news of my father's death could not puncture my soul because I was lavishing in thanksgiving. The result of the fasting and prayer that I did not raise him from the dead, but he gave me the capacity to go to the situation as though it never happened. If a situation has the capacity to break you, you are not strong in faith. You are not strong. We don't get broken. We don't get broken. Not because we boast in ourselves. Our boast is in God. We don't get broken. We don't get broken. Strong in faith. For 5 years in my office, they refused to promote me. And they were thinking that when they see me, maybe I'll be crippled. But for those 5 years, I ran to and fro with the gospel. Signs and wonders, doing my business, just somebody runs over and say, "Guy, oh my, I'm strong in faith." My promotion and me are two different things, for God's sake. Faith will separate your problem from you. As for me, I'm good, I'm great. Hallelujah. And then when God wanted to do the miracle, I've checked it. That's why I can say it now. I was the only one in the office that was promoted, and my promotion was backdated for 4 years. Strong in faith. Giving glory to God. I was just doing my business. Giving glory to God. The devil will want to bring a situation that will steal your joy. If he does that, he will have access to your soul. Meanwhile, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah. And then finally, we have great faith. The key to great faith, the example of great faith is the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Can we look at it briefly? Just for 5 minutes, then I'll show us the we'll use Abraham as a case study to see the components of faith. Then we'll stop there. Tomorrow we'll talk about personal faith, about corporate faith, and about the spirit of faith. And then maybe we'll be able to say what Pastor had, the burden he was expressing that I picked. We'll be able to say it plainly. Are you still with me? Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5 to 8. Matthew 8. Strong in faith. Even glory to God. There's no food. Yes, we know there's no food. That's a different matter. The fact that there's no food is a different thing. Alright? If you now make the temperature of the food, your own temperature in your soul, is an indication that you have little faith. It means the condition, the circumstances is what regulates you. You are still a baby. There can be no food and I can be strong in faith. I can be bubbling, enjoying my life. I can be doing well. I can be exalting the name of God. It has not changed the situation, but it has not affected me. The Bible says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not outside of them. Inside of no food. I, presently, am still a conqueror. My dominion does not change because of circumstances. So I'm different from the situation. Yeah, there's no money to pay school fees. Strong in faith. Strong in faith. Because I reason that God cannot send me to school and he will not find a way for me to... So I don't even think about the possibility of not being able to pay school fees. It's not part of my options of thought. Are you with me? Not part of it. How it will come, I don't know, but strong in faith. You don't need to know everything. All you need to know is God. The first line of revelation is that you know him as Father. It is his business to provide. Strong in faith. There are many times that in the solution to your problem, God will speak to you, give you direction. You are not eligible for direction if you are not strong in faith. Matthew 5. Are you with me? Matthew 5. I don't know if God will allow me to preach prosperity this year. To teach you how our ancestors, how they had provision, how God supplied to them. Hey, God will help us. I'm waiting for permission because he said I should come down, I should preach the kingdom first. He didn't say I will stop, but preach kingdom first. So if he gives me that allowance, in my own opinion, that's my area of specialty. There's a faith aspect to it. And there are practicalities. Oh, strong in faith. Strong in faith. Tell your neighbor, strong in faith. The evidence for that is that you give glory to God. When last did you labor in thanksgiving? It's not a culture. It's not something you have developed. Because you live according to the situation. According to the circumstance. When last did you see a man and say, okay, he's dying now. Why is he dying? He's hunger. He's hunger. He's dying of hunger. Have you ever seen that? He's dying now. He's dying of hunger. Strong in faith separates the ecosystem, the environment of your heart, separates it from the situation. It means you are bigger than the situation. You exist apart from the situation. That's what faith does. You cannot see the situation as something that is strong enough to undo the authority of the word of God in your life. That kind of a person, God can work with you. Many times, because I was complaining to my wife, I said, I have a problem. And my problem is that when I'm ministering, God gives me insight about people, but I'm afraid to say it.
He's so detailed, so detailed, so detailed. The ones I say are the ones I'm used to seeing.
So when you mention that we need another level of faith, I knew you were talking to me. The things God tells me. The things He tells me. For the past 5 years, I've been afraid. And it comes, it's too specific, that's why I'm afraid. Hey! But I've made up my mind. So be strong in faith. Giving glory to God. God now told me that a young man is flesh. You still, you believe you have a reputation. Kill your reputation. And die. Just let me believe him. You are afraid because they will say you are not an accurate prophet. He dealt with me. Strong in faith. So I've died. This year, if I hear it, I will say it. Strong in faith. So all of those things are symptoms of faithlessness. God is speaking, you're afraid. It's a symptom. Alright? Okay. Let's end at Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 5 to 8. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, came unto him a certain centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Why is he proposing this kind of approach to the healing? He now unveils the reason why he has such level of conviction. The centurion answered and said, now, what I'm trying to unveil to you is the secret of a strong faith. The secret of a strong faith is called knowledge. You see, if I know God more than you, my faith will be stronger than yours. As when we begin to study the articles of faith in the lives of Abraham, you are going to see that one of the major components of faith is knowledge. The Bible says concerning Abraham that the reason why it was easy for him to accept to sacrifice Isaac was because he knew that God had the ability to raise Isaac from the dead. What do you know? What do you know? He knew that God, what, could raise him from the dead. So it was not an issue for him to give him up. Abraham's faith was choked with knowledge, with deep knowledge. Now, the guy's knowledge was what he was trying to unveil as the basis of him knowing that Jesus actually doesn't need to move. He said, I'm a man that is set under authority, the centurion. There are 100 soldiers under him. So when I say unto this one, go, he goeth. I say unto that one, come, he cometh. That's his basis of the request he made to Jesus. Speak the word only. Because he has watched Jesus' ministry. He knows that there are functionaries that take his orders and implement it. The angelic functionaries. He knows that, no. This is the same thing I'm doing. I can't see the functionaries, the angels that are doing it, but I know that there are functionaries that are obeying this man's instructions and implementing it. So you don't, location, distance is not a challenge for you. You have functionaries. Speak the word. Knowledge. The key to strong faith is what? You can contact this knowledge either by studying the Bible or by encountering God. Eh? Are you with me? Studying the Bible, encountering God. Being dealt with by God. Dealing with God. You get spiritual knowledge. I told you before that I was supposed to die at the age of 13. That was when I started seeing angels. I saw the four that fought for my salvation, that fought for my deliverance.
I saw four of them. Those ones still come to me today. If you don't know what I'm saying, you think I'm bragging. Help me. Let me call them. Help me. I can call one. There's one I know how to call. Help me on my instrument. I was told when I went to heaven that when you begin to do this one will come first. If he comes first, and you begin to synchronize with him, the second one will come, the third one will come, the fourth one. And meanwhile, this year they changed them and they brought new set. They changed them. What do you know will determine the measure of faith that you carry. We can't operate like people without a God. Alright? People that are victims to all of this kind of killings, I assure you, because I was in the Kano riot. Even in the situation of a riot, people don't die anyhow. Oh my. I speak of the things I have seen. I testify about the things that I'm assured of. Even in a riot, men don't die anyhow. They don't die. I've been in many accidents. Came out without a scratch. Many. Accidents that crippled the vehicles and the drivers. What do you know? He knew that God was able to raise that young lad from the dead. Who told you faith is blind? Faith is just manifesting the spirit. It's all over me. It's moving me around. It's moving me. That's not faith. Faith has knowledge in it. The Holy Ghost power. We sang all kinds of songs. He's moving me around. There's knowledge in it. And the man that has the knowledge of God will be, the quality of life, his experiences will be different from the one that does not. Let us labor to be made stronger in faith. The Bible says he was not weak in faith. He gave glory to God. I'll stop here today. Time will not let me. You have risen from the dead. You are Lord. Light is shining in the darkness. Jesus, you are. Can we sing that song two times? Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. You have risen from the dead.
You have risen from the dead. You are Lord.
Light is shining in the darkness. Light is shining.
In the Jesus, 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 you. Sing Jesus, Jesus. Kubasama la desime helebatwa. Labro Mose Ketali Bokus Ketamina Branta Babole Kabede Abreso Sana Lemaha Rubana Sibria Kapesko Mahaita Kabaha Mahaito Selemale. Thank you, Lord. Mando Sabahai Loho. In Jesus' name.
You remember what that man said? Brought his son for Jesus to attend to him, and then Jesus said, do you believe?
say, I believe. Then he knew that Jesus would know that there was no faith. So he cried out, help my unbelief.
That's our prayer today. That every form of unbelief that we are spiritualizing, like the one me I carried, God will speak to me, I'll be afraid. What if the person, hey, they will say I'm not a prophet. It's unbelief. God just showed me that it's unbelief. Can we ask for God to apply a therapy to extinguish every trace of unbelief? I believe, help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou. Help thou. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou. Help thou. I enrolled in the school of faith because I want to do greater things for you and greater things in my generation. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief.